What we do as a church is every month or so, we get a sense of what God's asking us to look at for that month or for the next couple of weeks. And once we get a sense of what that is, we normally have, we look at that topic in the form of series. So the series that we've been looking at that we started last week is, can someone remind me? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And if you're like a really deep theological person, which is fantastic, you have like a degree in divinity, a PhD in eschatology, and you know the Greek, Hebrew, and Japanese meanings of biblical words, that topic might seem a bit casual to you. You might be like, man, good. My goodness, Pastor Benson, I came all the way to church this morning, and the topic you're looking at is, what are you thinking about? Why can't you tell us something deeper? Tell us how the world was... Relax. One thing I say is this. The Bible is simple. When Jesus taught, he taught from everyday life, so that when you encountered Jesus and the Word of God, you could actually apply what Jesus was talking about. Straight away, you didn't have to go and think about, well, you would have to think about it sometimes, but it's things that would apply to your everyday life. So that's our approach in this church. So we're looking at a topic called, what are you thinking about? And we looked at the story of a man in the Bible called Elijah. And I think maybe I'll just try and give us a brief summary of that without going into that in detail. We have the recording on our website. So we said, looking at this man Elijah, a number of things happened to him that really typify what life is like for us. And I said Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a really popular man. He did great things for God. He called down fire from heaven. And I believe I gave an example of that. Can you imagine what it would be like if you're familiar with Bristol, if I sent out like a social media post here and I recorded it and I said, look, everybody has their opinion about God. Some people are like, okay, Islam is the way. How can you tell me that Christ is the only way? Confucius is the way. Buddhism is the way. I now call out a challenge to the whole of Bristol. I now say, look, enough is enough of all this meandering about. Everybody needs to make up their mind. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to have a contest. And I'm going to come to the city center, Cabot Circus to be specific, that big round place. And if you believe Confucius is the way or Islam is the way, you just turn up at that place. And what we're going to do is this. You pray to your God or whoever it is you believe to, and ask that God of yours to call down fire from heaven. And I issue that challenge. And everybody's gathered there in Cabot Circus. We're all there. And it's like, man, this Pastor Benson guy is a really weird guy. How can he say he's gonna pray and fire will fall from heaven? Everybody will be really curious. Some people will be like, yeah, Mike, let's see what's gonna happen today. Even those who are good, even those who are going to watch Arsenal and Man U, they will tear their ticket and come there because they want to see what's going to happen. And everybody's gathered there. Do you understand? They're like, what's going to happen? Then everybody's talking and talking. And now pick up the mic because we'll have like big, you know, speakers. I pick up the mic and say, look, there's no need to waste time now. I'm just going to pray and fire is going to fall down from heaven. There will be physical fire here. And once that happens, then you can realize that God is God. None of this, you know, filtering around anymore. And I pray. And in front of everybody gathered at the Cabot Circus, fire actually comes down from heaven and begins to burn. What will be your reaction? Man, I can tell you what will happen, right? I will start trending on Instagram and all those places. It's true. I think I will trend so much. I'm like, oh, have you seen that Pastor Benson guy? Fire. Then some people will now like do artificial fire. Then they'll just put fire, fire, fire. In fact, they'll probably do t-shirts, merchandise. Say, Pastor, you know, with my picture on that, $5 or £5. If you buy two, we give you a discount. 2 for 10. I mean, I'll be trending and trending. This church will be packed. And like I said last week, if you come to church early, I know none of you come late, there won't be any space because people will be like, you know, all those that come late will be like at the back. In fact, probably the whole place will be jammed all the way to the main road there. It will be so cool. How would I feel about that as well? But I'll feel like, well, man, God is really doing stuff in Bristol. Accomplished. Do you get what I mean? Elijah felt that way as well. That's exactly what he did. I'm not saying he was trending on social media because that time they didn't have Instagram. And he was going about his business. He had, you know, done that. Then he gets a DM in his Instagram. Can you believe that? I was so embarrassed once. Someone was saying, oh, this was a while ago, by the way. Someone was like, oh, I'll DM, you know, you can ask people to DM you and all that. DM. I was like, man, is that Dr. Martins or something? What does DM mean? So I had to kind of like just pretend I understood what was happening. But after the conversation, by the way, this was a long time ago. After the conversation had gone a long way. Okay, if they DM you, you can just reply to them. You can add them to your, I just said, hang on. I don't want to sound presumptuous here. I said, what is DM? And the person looked at me. Are you kidding me? They didn't tell me that. It's like shock. You don't know what DM is? Don't worry, if you don't know what DM is here, we're on the same page. I was like that before. So someone now sent him a DM. And the DM message was, which we read last week in 1 Kings. Let me just, I'll just summarize that one. So he got a DM message from this woman called Jezebel. And the DM message was, you've been trending on Instagram, calling down fire from heaven. People are believing in God and all that. But when I, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, this was the DM that Elijah got. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. It said, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. So she sent him a threat. She sent Elijah a DM threat. So someone sends me a message and they're like, Pastor Benson, we're going to deal with you. We're going to ensure that all these things you're doing, you know, pointing people to God, ceases, it stops. Now, what do you think my reaction should be? What do you think the reaction of Elijah should have been? Someone that called down fire from heaven. Someone that knew God in a way that nobody knew. Someone that heard the voice of God. Someone that angels appeared to. And he gets this threat. What do you think his response should have been? Whatever. And if you're American, it's whatever. What is it? Whatever. Guys, if you ever hear me speak like American accent, just pull me aside and just say, Pastor, something is happening here. There's someone who's been trying to like convert me to, but I'm not going to say anything before that. Can I imagine? I was like, okay, look, what? Sorry, I'm just diverting. And I said, oh, can I have some water, please? And this person goes, no, it's not water, it's water. I said, no, let's look at the English text. If you read it, it says W-A-T-R. So it's water, not water. Anyway, I'll leave that conversation for another day. But the person, I'll play this message to them to let them know that I spoke about them in church. So, what should have been his response, really? You probably will have thought, well, he will have shrugged it off and said, I mean, this is just one of those, they call them one of those trolls, one of those haters. Just forget that message. It's irrelevant. But Elijah does something interesting here. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm just recapping from last week. And 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 4 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Can you beat this? He was so scared, and the Bible says he didn't walk. He didn't just say, I'm going on, he ran for his life. He was in terror. Do you understand? But it didn't end there. Let's even say, like I mentioned last week, he had a moment. Let's say he was feeling a bit, upside, and he just ran. But it didn't stop there for Elijah. So this is where I'm going to. So I'll read on verses 3 to 4. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. I just want us to get this. How did Elijah get to the place where everything in his life was hunky-dory, like the Americans would say? Oh, man, I'm using these acronyms. His life was, he was fine. The same way maybe we come to church sometimes, we're happy, there's something you've been praying about, and it comes through, and you're like so excited at home, everything is fine, you come to church like this, we pray, Pastor Benson is playing his guitar, singing, and you're so happy, everything is going okay, like Elijah. Then, out of the blues, something happens, like it happened to Elijah here. And Elijah found himself not only in a place where he was afraid, but he found himself in a place where he was suicidal. He prayed to God for God to end his life. So the question I have for us this morning that I had yesterday was this. How did Elijah get to the place where it seemed like his life was just fine, great? To the place where he became suicidal. What happened between point A and B? The Bible is silent on that. But I believe this is what happened, and we'll look at it in more detail today. There was something that happened in the mind of Elijah, that he was not aware of. And that thing was this. Whether we realize it or not, you and I, we live life primarily through our mind. So there were conversations going on in the mind of Elijah that he was probably not aware of. And those conversations took him from the place where he was fine to the place where he became anxious and suicidal. So something was going on in the mind of Elijah. And what I said last week is this. You and I primarily live our lives through our mind. So if you're dealing with people, right? For example, if I have like qualms with you, I can come to you and we can talk about it. Or if you have qualms with me, you come to me and we are talking about it. Elijah had qualms with a few people and he called fire from heaven and he sorted that situation because he could see what was happening. But he didn't realize that there is another conversation that goes on in our minds. And that is where the real life is lived out, because it is those conversations that go on in our minds in the background that really push our lives in a particular direction. So that was what was going on with Mr. Elijah. So This morning, we're looking at something, that was the intro, but don't worry, I'll be done in about 20 minutes. This morning, we want to examine life in your mind. Because I believe that if you and I can really understand how this happens in our mind, then we'll be able to live happier lives. We will, in most cases, understand what is going on in our minds. Do you understand? Because it's invincible. So this morning, we want to look at what happened to Elijah. Well, Elijah had a conversation in his mind that he was not aware of. And that conversation led him to where he ended up. So we'll look at that this morning, then I'll make 3 points with regards to how, you know, we possibly can deal with that. So I'll make a number of points this morning. So the first thing I want to mention this morning is this. There is a life that is going on in your mind. There are conversations that are going on in your mind right now. Every time you're seated, every time you're walking down the road, you are thinking about something. As you're sitting there now, you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Benson, I hope you finish on time. They're bringing to my house at 12, like that cake that I ordered. If it goes past 12, Pastor Benson, I'm just going to sneak out. That might be going through your mind at the moment. But what I'm just saying is that your mind is usually never dormant. Something is going on in your mind. You're hearing conversations in your mind. So the first point I want to make in terms of looking at what happened to Elijah was this. The language of your mind is thoughts. So I'll make 3 points this morning. Then we'll look at what happened to Elijah. The language of your mind is thoughts. So, language in terms of the physical sense now, as I'm speaking, is primarily through speech. So, I could say, can you come up here for a minute? Like, that's not rhetorical. Can you come for a minute? Let's give her a hand as she comes up. She's like, what? She was like, Pastor, you didn't have this conversation before the service. What are you going to do now? Don't worry, just cool down. So, I'm speaking to her now. And my language is speech primarily. How was your day yesterday? Is a proper question.
Good. Good, very good.
Oh. Did you have like loads of chicken and stuff last, you know, that in the fridge? And
in the fridge?
Yeah. Did you eat that cake that I put in the fridge last? That one that I, hey, it was interrupting this conversation. I'm giving you an example here. So I'm primarily speaking with her via speech. So we're having a conversation, all right? Spoken. Now, can you come over here? But don't face me, just, you know. Then I begin to, no, to turn around, you're not looking at me now. I begin to have another conversation with her. This time, I'm speaking through thought. She can't really see me, but we're going to have a conversation anyway. I now say, oh man, this is theatrical. I say, oh my goodness, what's Pastor going to say? Relax. I'm thinking of something. I now say, she can't really see me, right? And I now begin to project thoughts to her. I now say, suggestively, you know that cake that was in the fridge? If Dad was really considerate, he wouldn't have eaten the whole thing, you know? It's a thought. Do you want to respond to that message? Don't look at me, because you can't see me. You're thinking about it. If Dad had been more considerate, he wouldn't have finished, by the way, I didn't finish the cake, by the way. This is an example. If dad was more considerate, he would have left some cake for you, but he didn't. Wow. Now you think back. Is an example. I didn't eat that cake.
I said, I don't know whether to believe that or not.
Anyway, oh, let's give her a hand. She's like, man, by the way, I didn't eat any cake. It was just an example. Just. So what I'm just saying is this. In the second part, there was another conversation going on in her mind. And it was through her thoughts. Now, she responded like properly. She's like, I don't know, maybe, you know like how MPs in England respond, politically correct. She was like, man, if I respond that dad ate that cake, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to get another one. But I'll respond politically correct. She's not said, well, I'm not going to believe that thought. So she was having another conversation in her mind in terms of thoughts. Now, she said, okay, I'm not going to believe that thought. And that ended right there. But can you imagine if she took that thought further? And she said, yeah, if dad were more considerate, he wouldn't have eaten that all the cake in the fridge. He will have left some for me. Maybe my dad doesn't really care that much about me. And she begins to process that thought. Do you know what will begin to happen to her? She might begin to feel a bit hurt. Her emotions begin to be like, man, after all I'd done, and I was the one that made that cake, at least you could have left some for me. She might begin to feel a bit sad. And if she processes that thought long enough, it will begin to affect her actions. To the point where maybe when I just, those are quiet people at the back, to the point that it goes from her thoughts, affects her emotions like, man, this is not it at all. And it can progress to where it begins to affect her actions. Where maybe previously the night before, I was like, hey, sweetheart, how are you doing? How was your day? And she's like, oh, great, dad, the day before. Now, this thought has gone through her mind. She has processed it. It's affected her emotions. And the next day, after she's processed it, I now come to her. I'm like, oh, sweetheart, how are you doing? Do you know what her response might be? Okay, good morning, dad. I'm not saying she's... Good morning, dad. So what has happened between that point A and point B? There's an acronym that I put together last week that would help us to explain that. And that acronym I said was what? Who can remember? Sorry, wait. Who said coffee? If you said coffee, you know I have the mic here. I can ask you to, but I won't do that. T. T-E-A. Your thoughts affect your emotions and your actions. Oftentimes, your actions are ultimately as a result of what you've been thinking about. And so what I'm saying this morning is this, in the first instance, that you're having conversations in your mind, and these conversations are primarily through the thoughts that you have. And those thoughts will translate to affect your emotions and eventually your actions as well. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, I'll just read. It says, Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, "As for you, O king, your thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed about what will come to pass after this. He who reveals secrets has made this known to you." So this is just telling us that primarily in our minds, we're having conversations there, and those conversations start from thoughts. Those thoughts could be your thoughts. Those thoughts could be the thoughts. It could be God speaking to you through your thoughts, like this Daniel chapter 2, verse 9. God speaks to us in thoughts as well. And it could be the devil speaking to that individual through their thoughts. So I guess the first point I want to mention or really nail down this morning is that we understand that there is a conversation going on through your mind, and that conversation is through thoughts. And those thoughts affect our emotions and our actions. That's what happened to Elijah. Elijah was fine. Everything in his life was fine. He was doing well. There were no real problems till he got this threat. And a thought came to his mind. He probably shrugged it off at first. He's like, oh, this is just a simple threat. Then he allowed that thought to continue. And that thought began to tell him, this is not a threat. I can actually kill you. I can actually do this to you. I can actually do this to you. And he began to have conversations with that thought to the point where it affected his emotions. He became anxious. And the anxiety affected his emotions. And he was like, man, this is just too much for me. I am going to just end it all. Do you understand? That was what happened to this man. So, what was the key emotion that Elijah was facing here? Anxiety. The thoughts that he had, that he got from this woman, caused anxiety to drive his heart. This anxiety now led to depression. Now, I'm not saying that depression is primarily through thought. That would be too simplistic. But I'm just saying that in this instance, I believe that this is what happened. Depression can happen. It can be biological. It can be chemical. I'm not a doctor, but I don't want to oversimplify. But this is the position I'm taking in this instance. That the emotion that the thoughts generated in the life of Elijah was anxiety. And it was the anxiety that he felt at that point that led to him being depressed, then suicidal. Do you know the Bible talks about this as well? If you look at, let me just grab this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, King James Version. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Okay, try New King James Version or NIV. Or try New King James Version first. Okay. Look at what the Bible says here. That happened to this man, and that happens to us sometimes. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man. This is the Bible, right? Causes what? Depression. I didn't know that word depression was in the Bible initially. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of a man or a person causes depression. So, anxiety grabbed the heart of Elijah. Skewed his whole vision, painted a picture of horror to Elijah that was not real. That picture wasn't real. And forced him into depression. I really use that word forced. Forced him into, because he allowed it. And brought him to a point where he wanted to take his life. Did someone point a gun at him? No. Did anyone come to his house and knock the door and say, we're going to... No, none of that happened. So what are you thinking about this morning? That's the question I have to you. Because whatever it is you're thinking about has the propensity to shape how your life goes. Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be peaceful? Do you understand? So the first point I'm making is this. TEA. Your thoughts affect your emotions and your actions. The, The thoughts that Elijah had caused him anxiety. And it landed him somewhere that he was not expecting that he would get to. But like I said, depression is not always this way. It could be biological. So it could be chemical. So I'm not oversimplifying it, but I'm just highlighting what the Bible is saying this morning. Do you understand? So, anytime you're thinking thoughts, ask yourself the question. What kind of thoughts are these? Who am I having conversations with in my mind? Am I having conversations with myself or with somebody else? And these conversations that I'm having, where are they leading me to? Do you understand? Because those conversations that you have in your mind will lead you somewhere, I can tell you. Definitely, they will lead you somewhere. So, what are you thinking about? The second point I'll make this morning, just I've alluded to it in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. The King James Version says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So this is saying that eventually, whatever is going on in your mind will show up in your life. It will shape who you are. It will shape the state of your life. It will shape the state of my life as well. Do you understand? So, we finish off this morning. So I've looked at, the fact that thoughts are the language of the mind. The second one is that your actions the thoughts will determine your actions eventually and all that. So the last thing is this. So how do I deal with these thoughts that come to my mind? How do I begin to address the situation where I'm not constantly anxious? Do I just pretend that everything is going on around me, do I just pretend, even when things are not going on well around me, do I just ignore it? Do I just put my head in the sand and say, well, I'm not going to think bad thoughts. I've got 2 red letters from the council saying I need to pay. Oh, that doesn't exist. No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we ignore reality. Do you understand? Even when reality is not looking very good. But what I am saying this morning is that you and I can choose the reality that we allow to affect our minds. Not ignoring what we need to do from a physical perspective. No. But choosing that, look, the life that I am going to live, irrespective of what's going on around me, is one that I am going to control in my mind. So how do we deal with these things in our mind? How do I begin to live a life that is peaceful, like the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 27? How do I live a life that is not like what Elijah ended up doing here? I'll mention 3 points here quickly, then we will pray this morning. So, the first one is in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You have to guard your heart. Not every thought that comes to your mind is a good thought. So you have to, you and I, when I say you have to, I'm included as well. You and I have to really guard our hearts. See what it is we are constantly exposing ourselves to and the thoughts that we allow to rest in our minds. And I was just saying that, for example, if you're looking at the news every single minute and you're focusing on the part that says that the economy is crashing, people are losing their jobs, people are this, people are dying, people are this. I mean, those might be facts, but you don't want to make that your bread and butter that you're referring to every hour, because you are exposing your heart to it. So the Bible says we should guard our hearts. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we demolish every argument and pretension that sets off itself against the knowledge of God. And there it says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So just don't allow any thought ruminate in your mind. A thought comes to your mind that's not pleasant, kick it out. A thought comes that is trying to make you anxious, don't let it rest in your mind. Just delete it. Do you understand? You and I have to guard our hearts and our thoughts. Is this easy to do? Not really, but I believe that there is something that we can do, which is to begin to practice this. So as you practice it, it becomes eventually part of us. It's not something that will just happen automatically sometimes. It's something that takes practice. But as you begin to practice this, it becomes easier and easier and easier and easier. So the first thing is to guard our hearts. The second thing is this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So what this is saying in dealing with this situation is this. Focus on things that are good. Focus on things that are praiseworthy, that are pure. Don't scare yourself with Netflix movies that are just like projecting horror. Do you get me? Do you understand? Don't focus too much on those things, because whether you realize it or not, they will affect your thoughts. Focus on good things. Do you understand? As the Bible says here. So this is focus. The first one I said, point one, is to guard. Like, don't just let any thoughts ruminate in your mind. The second one is, on a daily basis, minute by minute basis, try and put your mind onto things that are good. Do you understand? And the last point before we pray is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the New King James Version says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So, as you guard your heart, as you think on good things, the third and final one is this. You and I have to focus on God. And as we focus on him, whatever is going on around you, whether good or not so good, he says, look, develop the habit of trusting God. That God, I might not understand what's going on here around me. Whatever is going on around me might be a good cause for anxiety. So I'm not pretending that these things don't exist. No. But this scripture is telling us that we focus on God and we also trust that God who created you, God who knows tomorrow, next week, the year after, will help you. He will help you. He says, trust him. And as we do these things, I believe very strongly, or as we practice these things, our hearts will be peaceful. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, Jesus said something interesting there. It says, I have left with you peace, not the kind of peace that the world gives. Do you understand? It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So Jesus knows that our hearts will be troubled. Jesus knows that our hearts sometimes might be afraid. So Jesus isn't saying, oh, why are you afraid? Why? I mean, you just heard the sermon from Pastor Benson. Fear! Ah. No. He's not saying that. He's saying, look, I understand that there are times that you will be afraid. I understand that there are times that you will be troubled. Do you understand? However, he says, there is something that you can do in the midst of that. You can make up your mind and begin to practice trusting God, guarding your heart, controlling your thoughts. And as you do that, irrespective of what's going on around you, you can experience the peace of God in every single circumstance. Amen. We're going to pray this morning. Now, the things I've said seem so simple, and maybe because of the way I present these things sometimes, but I can tell you that for me as an individual, I've gone through like loads of interesting things in my life. In fact, there was someone I was saying that if I told you everything that I've gone through, you probably just weep and cry and say, Pastor, do you understand? So we all go through stuff, but I practice this to the best of my ability, and it helps me. And I know that it will help you as well. Let's rise and pray this morning. You know, when I was thinking about this particular topic today, I've been reflecting on it all through the week. And I was so thankful to God. I was like, God, you care so much for us that it's not just getting us to heaven that matters to you, although that's really important. But the Bible says that God, that we have a high priest in Hebrews that's not oblivious of our suffering. That means every pain that you and I go through, the Bible says Jesus is not unaware of it. He's not saying, try harder, have more faith, have more faith. No. Do you understand? So this morning we're going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody to come forward here. Leave your seat. And this morning we're going to pray together as a church. If you can, come to the front. Come forward. Let everybody come forward. Don't worry, just come forward. So we'll pray this morning. But before we pray, my Father, my King, immortal, invincible, God, only wise, you are the one that has sent me to this church. You are the one that has sent me to this city. You are the one that has sent me to pastor these people of yours. You are the one that understands where everybody is at this point in time. You're the one that understands the challenges and even the victories that they have gone through in their lives. Father, this morning, Jesus, this morning, I'm praying that as I begin to speak, let me speak, Lord, as your oracle this morning. I begin to speak over you. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I have given you, not the kind of peace that this world gives, but the one that is supernatural. I speak into every situation of your life that is tumultuous, every situation that is aggravating, I speak peace to it in the name of Jesus. Every thought, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Every spirit of fear released into your mind, I bind in the name of Jesus. I speak the peace of God into your life in the name of Jesus. I speak boldness into your life in the name of Jesus. I take authority over everything that is not meant to be in your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you, to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. Everything that represents or everything that mitigates against hope in your life, tonight, this morning, they're taken away in the name of Jesus. Everything that mitigates against the future that God has put in front of you, that He has ordained for you before the foundations of time, everything that mitigates around against that, I remove it in the name of Jesus. I remove it in the name of Jesus. I speak peace. I speak the blessing of God. I speak the hope of God. I speak the strength of God into your life. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, Father, you said that it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm asking, empower your people. Strengthen them in your spirit, oh God. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.